passionate about broadcast media? Become a part of Broadcast Plaza to discuss all about it with fellow community members and industry professionals, including your humble narrator. Broadcast Plaza, this is the place. Join today by going to the link in this episode's description or by logging on to discord.gg/Broadcast Plaza.
This is a Zaglund Original Podcast.
Today on the Zachary and Peaches Show,
we're heading out west to nice and friendly corners. Adrian and I will be talking about Sheriff Callie's Wild West and how this two-season Disney Junior series uses the Western genre to give us a lesson or two about getting along.
And after watching Stephen Colbert stay up after midnight, as rising comedian Taylor Tomlinson hosts the CBS late-night panel game show devised to keep things comfy, cozy, and witty.
All this week, January 23rd, 2024.
Connecting from Orlando and Baltimore, it's all about animation, autism, and everything else. This is the Zachary and Peaches Show with Adrian Mata and Emma Settle.
Welcome to the Zachary and Peaches Show, everybody. I'm Adrian Mata.
And I'm Emma Settles.
And how have you been in the past week, Emma?
Things have been pretty uneventful for the most part, actually, which, you know, it's not a bad thing. I like a good, relaxing, uneventful week. Yeah, nothing really super big has happened. My mom, unfortunately, has strep throat right now, so she's been recovering from that, so that really hasn't been fun. But other than that, just been a pretty productive week. Been getting a lot of art done. Art trades, commissions, etc. Stuff I'm planning on selling in the future. Oh, by the way, commissions. On the topic of commissions, as I pretty much suggested already, I have commissions open. So, yeah, that being said, if you want to take a look to see what I'm offering, go ahead. If you have an Instagram, check me out either on my personal art account or my professional art account. Link, of course, or at least, you know, usernames are in this episode's description as always. But for those of you who are auditory learners, my personal art account is at localpeacheswolf. And my business account is at localpeaches_studios. So, therefore, the second account has the commission info specifically created as a slideshow post that you can look through. But I also have an Instagram story with a link to said post in a highlight on my personal Instagram's page, too. So it's on both my accounts, technically, so therefore you can go ahead and check it out from there. So yeah, if you've been wanting to commission me for a while or just curious, if you've never seen my art before and, you know, just want to see it, then go right ahead. I think this might be an interesting opportunity for you to either, you know, finally get that commission piece from me, or in general, just take a look and see if you like my work. So, but yeah, other than that, nothing has been super, super eventful. The Settles household. My dad's birthday is today, though, and we actually went out for that really briefly, got lunch with him, and then he took me to a antique store that he likes going to in Virginia. And I actually came back with some pretty cool finds. I bought a cast iron bat where I can hang on a door or on a wall and keep keys on, because it has little hooks on it. So really cute. And I also found two 80s Care Bears figures for a couple bucks that I also picked up as well. So that was, that's been really cool. But yeah, other than that, not super, nothing super eventful. And just thankful that I had a pretty low-key week, especially as the weeks keep progressing, things are only going to get, you know, crazier and crazier. Especially with my birthday coming up and a whole bunch of other things. The con and, yeah, all that lovely stuff. But, yeah, other than that, had a pretty relaxing, pretty sane week. How about you, Adrian? What's been up with you?
Well, nothing too eventful on my end either over Universal Orlando. Just only the two shifts this past week anyway. Only worked at the carts there, first at the popcorn cart and then at the snacks cart, both stands over at Marvel Superhero Island, which is of course where I am based. This, you know, as part of my employment for now anyway, but yeah, nothing too eventful. We did have two refunds on a particular item on Saturday, which I guess has something to do with the quality of the item. I won't go into too specific details about it just to keep the integrity intact and all that, but we had to refund two particular guests who bought that item, but yeah, anyway, other than that, nothing out of the ordinary aside from those, but earlier today I did get to see one of my favorite, actually my favorite acoustic music act period. They are called Gilly and the Girl, and they are a married couple, Mike and Charity Gill. They've been together for 10 years, performing together for 6 or 7 years, actually. And I got to see them over at Boxy Park in Lake Nona today, and they performed a bunch of 80s, 90s, 2000s, today's hits, really. And I just enjoyed myself, had a little bit of fun. Got to enjoy some food as well. Had a chicken sandwich, some waffle fries. So at least I got that covered, even if I can't have a chicken sandwich from Chick-fil-A on Sunday. But I also had that, some soft serve ice cream with a little chocolate pearls. I always love that. And some waffle cone pieces and chocolate sauce. So yeah, a very great, fun afternoon. And yeah, again, they performed some songs, Everywhere by Fleetwood Mac. And of course, Antihero by Taylor Swift. And I did the chants once again, so no surprise there, from when I last saw them at the Margaritaville restaurant at Universal Orlando. So there is that. But I do want to give them a little plug here. Wednesday evening on their Facebook page, they are going to be having another, Facebook live stream. This will be at the, Pescado Lounge in air quotes. But they're going to have a live stream for the fans who are not local to the Central Florida area, who live out of the area. And so they're going to have that on Wednesday, 7 p.m. Eastern. And that'll be on their Facebook page at Gilly and the Girl. So hey, I've pointed you in the direction of a particular acoustic music act that you might as well check out, especially, you know, with their live stream coming up that particular week. On that particular note, that's pretty much about it for me as far as my life is concerned within the past week.
Wonderful. Again, gotta love a particularly relaxing and an eventful week. And you know me, of course, plugging in the fact that they played a little Fleetwood Mac at the show that you at the show you attended. Gotta love the Mac. It's funny, I'll write on like my Instagram stories and stuff like that my favorite artist right now is Bastille, which it is. Great band, by the way. But Mac will always have a big place in my heart. They're just wonderful. And again, I'm thankful I got the opportunity to see them live, not to, you know, focus on, not to get, you know, carried off into the weeds and to reminisce too much. But yeah, again, thank you for plugging in that they played some Mac at the show. That's makes, I don't know, just this warms my weird little heart.
Oh, yeah. They also played Goldust Woman at that during one of their sets as well. So that's another Fleetwood Mac song that they played. Also, one of Charity's favorite songs from Fleetwood Mac, I think Stevie Nicks wrote that one.
I'm trying to remember specifically, but I think you are correct.
I could be. Well, speaking of music, the artists for performing at Universal Land of Resorts Mardi Gras have been announced. They were announced a few days ago. Among the artists performing are Ava Max, DJ Khaled, Louis Fonsi, and Queen Latifah, and also Zed. There are other artists I have not mentioned that will be performing as well. So please check out Universal Orlando's website at universalorlando.com for all of the entire list of artists performing throughout February and March of this year for Mardi Gras, and of course, all the other information, food, drinks, all that good stuff, and all of that. So if you're in the area, do check it out, and I'm sure there's going to be a certain artist that you'll want to see live over there. On to our housekeeping notes. We are, of course, a Broadcast Plaza server partner, and as such, we also have the opportunity to collaborate with other server partners as well. Recently, I got to do a little bit of rebranding for a certain server partner. And it's a YouTube channel called Retro Circ, and I was a part of designing their new logo. In fact, I actually designed the logo myself. But anyway, they have a new logo. They're going to be rolling out a new look over time. And the full rebrand will not hit you, at least the viewers, until sometime in June. But it's their new logo. And I actually have I'll actually show it to you during the break. Anyway, Emma. But it's got the R, and then in the counter space there, in the negative space there, they said I combined the record button with the rewind button, and that forms to combine the C in Circ, and then inside the R for retro. So yeah, a pretty cool, unique, snazzy-looking logo that I was able to design for them. So anyway, if you're looking for some nostalgia through commercials and such from the 80s, 90s, I think maybe also the 70s too. But in any case, if you're looking for nostalgia and also original segments featuring the Mimes, formerly the Off Duty Mimes, now the R Team, thanks to the rebrand. Do check them out on YouTube. Subscribe to them. They are Retro Circ, and we'll put a link to that in the description of this episode.
I actually saw the logo that you designed for them on Instagram today, and I'm very impressed. It looks great.
Yeah, I'm really happy with it too. I'm glad the people over there are quite happy with it as well. So yeah,
as they should be.
Yeah, I'm just excited to see how they're going to be rolling it out over the course of the next couple of months there. So do check them out on YouTube at Retro Circ. So there you go. And then also, a certain movie that I alluded to during my look back on 2023, during the first half, the end of the first half of season two, apparently got leaked on the platform formerly known as Twitter. It is now called X, and it is owned by Elon Musk. But anyway, the movie Saving Bikini Bottom, the Sandy Cheeks movie, the entirety of the movie got leaked onto X earlier today on this day of recording. So that was, I suppose the producers weren't too happy about that. Luckily, it got taken down hours later. So now, you know, at least things can return to a bit of a sense of normalcy here. And of course, they can carry, you know, the producers and of course the distributor. Of course, they'll be able to carry on with the rest of, I guess, production and then promotion, and then of course just getting word out there when it is released. There, the Sandy Cheeks movie is currently being produced by. It is being produced by Nickelodeon. I think Nickelodeon Animation, and will be distributed to Netflix. That will be where you will see that movie on that particular streaming service there. But not a good situation there, Emma. It didn't look really good.
No, yeah. I mean, movie leaks are. There's something. That's all I'm gonna say. I can't believe someone was able to upload the entire thing to that platform. Again, thankfully it got flagged, so therefore, you know, people can continue with proper production and promotion. But even still, not cool. Not cool, person who leaked that too early. I joke about it, but still, that must have been a bit unnerving for everyone involved with that production.
Well, for those who have seen it, you know, please do not spoil it and do not distribute it any further. We do not condone that here on the Zachary and Peaches show. But if at the very least, if you have seen it, just keep those spoilers to yourself. That's all we ask. Anyway, that is our housekeeping notes for the week of January 23rd. We got WTN Animation News coming up. The Zachary and Peaches Animation News Break, brought to you by the World Telegram News. Coverage that is transparent, truthful, and timeless. And of course, we've got another good show for you this week as we head to Nice Friendly Corners and kind of stay around the general vicinity and stay up after midnight. So, hey, stick around. Jared's going to tell you all about what we got lined up this week, and we will be right back.
Next on the Zachary and Peaches Show, saddle up, because we're heading over to the confines of Nice and Friendly Corners. Adrian and Emma talk about Sheriff Callie's Wild West and how it uses the Western genre to teach lessons about friendship. And later, it's okay to stay up after midnight to see three comedians compete for the win through witty banter and material. Adrian discusses the newest show to hit CBS's late night lineup, hosted by comedian Taylor Tomlinson. Coming up after the break.
Hey, Emma here. Stay tuned for this week's question. Spotify listeners can reply through this platform's Q&A feature on their mobile device to have their say. You can also reply on Adrian's profile at AdrianMata26 on DeviantArt and Tumblr to this episode's recap entry on both platforms, or through our show's Instagram and Threads accounts at Zachary and Peaches with your thoughts. We can't wait to hear what you have to say.
And now it's time for the Zachary and Peaches Animation News Break, powered by the World Telegram News. Coverage that's transparent, truthful, and timeless.
WTN Animation News, I'm Edvardy Jackson. Final nominations for the Academy Awards will be announced today on January 23rd. One of the initial nominees shortlisted is Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse for the Best Visual Effects category. Across the Spider-Verse is one of the very few animated films to be nominated for the category in Academy history. Other movies in the running include The Creator, Godzilla Minus One, and Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. DreamWorks' next movie, Orion in the Dark, releases February 2nd. The movie is based on the 2014 children's book of the same name, written by Emma Yarlett. The movie will be available to stream on Netflix. And Build-A-Bear is expanding itself to the realm of animated video. The show is called Kabu and features the titular character and a group of friends as they tackle issues on friendship, school, and growing up. Build-A-Bear is co-producing the series with Foundation Media Partners and Laughing Dragon Studios, based in LA and Montreal, respectively. A preview episode will be showcased at the Kids Screen Summit next month. And that's the news for this week as of Tuesday, January 23rd. The news continues on the main news podcast, which runs every Friday at 5 a.m. Eastern. Just search WTN News Audio wherever you get your podcasts. You can also get the latest headlines all the time at www.theworldtelegram.news. For myself and the entire WTN News team, we hope you have a safe, happy, and healthy week ahead. Back to Adrian and Emma with the Zachary and Peaches Show.
This Zachary and Peaches Animation News Break has been a presentation of the World Telegram News. For more coverage that's transparent, truthful, and timeless on national, global, and tech news, log on to theworldtelegram.news and subscribe to WTN News Audio wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time for more animation.
This is kind of like the ultimate journey between Retzko and Haida, because finally the man worked up the courage to ask her out, and she said yes.
More autism.
I've done like a playlist / mixtape on Spotify for it. I've started a fanfic on it that's I'm trying to get off and running here, where Nimona's kind of really trying to deal with the aftermath of the events in the movie.
And more everything else.
Do you honestly you probably know what I'm going to say. Spirit Halloween could open in freaking February, and I would not care. I could be in there all the freaking damn time.
Season 2 of the Zachary and Peaches Show. New episodes every Tuesday on most major podcast platforms. Neurodivergent. In-depth. Unique. You're listening to the Zachary and Peaches Show.
This is the Zachary and Peaches Show. We're back, and we're going to be talking, well, let me not say we're going to be talking about. We're going to saddle up and head off to Nice and Friendly Corners. And Emma, I don't suppose you know where we're going to be going. I don't suppose you know what we're going to be talking about this week here.
Believe me, Adrian, I know just as well as you do. We are going to be discussing the rather adorable two-seasoned Disney Junior show known as Sheriff Callie's Wild West. This is a show that I watched every once in a good while when it was on Disney Junior. I believe it was released back in like 2013-14, somewhere around that ballpark. But yeah, this was a show that I kind of enjoyed. It was just something that it was overall very cute, very gentle, a nice little pick me up, you know, brain popcorn sort of show. And correct me if I'm wrong, but I think you had a similar experience with the series too. Am I right, Adrian?
I have, yes. I did watch it for a good while, actually, back when my family and I did have, at the very least, paid television anyway. We were subscribed to AT&T Uverse. That's an internet protocol television service, and Disney Junior was one of the channels that we had as a part of our pay TV package. So I did watch a fairly good amount of Sheriff Callie back then. So there is that, and... also watched some Warner Pets, some My Little Pony, Friendship is Magic, but that's irrelevant to this conversation here. But yeah, just shows how late, you know, I was to my childhood anyway. So there you go.
Hey, nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. In any case, here is Jared with our synopsis for Sheriff Callie.
Singer and actress Mandy Moore lends her voice to the titular Calico Cat Sheriff who keeps watch over the Wild West town of Nice and Friendly Corners. Accompanying her on her day-to-day activities are a red woodpecker named Deputy Peck and a talking cactus named Toby. Throughout each episode of this children's animated series, the main trio of characters and the townspeople of Nice and Friendly Corners work together to make their town the friendliest in the West. Taking center stage are a wide variety of issues, from disagreements and annoyances to other problems impacting their place of residence, accompanied by the usual Disney trademark musical number. Sheriff Callie's Wild West was produced for Disney Junior by DHX Media for its first season and Wild Canary Animation for its second.
Thank you, Jared, and let's get to it here. The format and the genre here, so basically it's we just have like it's 2 11-minute episodes that gives us a friendship lesson or two of, you know, of a sort during each episode. And of course, it's in the Western genre. So I guess an interesting genre to go into as a children's television show there. But it does go out its way to, you know, let us know how we can get along with each other. So I guess from there, Emma, how does that show do that particular job?
I mean, just in general, I mean, if you think about, like, the Western genre, you kind of immediately are brought back to, like, a lot of the, you know, a lot of television and movies specifically from, like, you know, the 40s, the 50s, etc. Up into the 60s. At the very least, you know, I've heard a lot from my grandmother, who talked a lot about watching, like, cowboy shows in her own childhood. You know, that being said, I think it's, you know, there's this whole sort of trope about, like, the Wild West. And, you know, it kind of being, like, a lawless, unforgiving sort of place. However, I mean, what I think Sheriff Callie does is that it kind of takes that sort of preconceived notion about the, especially, you know, with the early days of the Western genre, and turns it into not just a cartoon, but turns it into a cartoon that, as I have said before, is particularly gentle. And yeah, it talks a lot about how, you know, how to be a good friend and how to get along and just how to be a good person, which is, again, it's fascinating. And but at the same token, if you also really consider it too, I think it, even though it's definitely different, I think it also makes sense for it as well, because I mean, if you think about it, like, you know, what are some of little kids' like prime obsessions and interests? You know, obviously you have like space, and you have pirates, you have like rescue workers, and stuff like that. But at the same token, though, cowboys is still, at least to some degree, a level of something that, you know, young kids at least partially still have an interest in. I think it obviously depends on, like, obviously your kid's personality, as well as, you know, just the place where you live. But at the same token, there's still a fair amount of kids who enjoy cowboy stories. And, you know, that being said, I think it's extra fascinating that Callie kind of takes that and runs with it really well. Especially with the fact that all the characters are animals. Again, not me being a furry here, but I think I think that
you
that
are definitely a furry, Emma. Do not deny that.
There's no argument. I'm definitely a furry. If you haven't heard it already, folks, I'm a furry. Wow, what shocking news, Mort 11.
On your corner, in your corner. This is WJZ News at 11. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Yeah, no problem. But, you know, in all seriousness, it takes sort of that kid's interest in cowboy stories as well as the kid's interest in animals, and takes them both and marries them together in such a fascinating and fun way that it just overall created a formula for at least a pretty relatively successful series. Again, even though it got only got two seasons at the same token, it still got two seasons. And it's just, it was, It was a cute show while it lasted. I definitely enjoyed it whenever I had the opportunity to catch it. You know, I suppose, you know, on the topic of how it specifically talks about, you know, being a good friend and being a good person, I think it was something that the show did really well, and it did in a way where it primarily focused on a couple of characters and Callie's sort of response to those characters, whether it was, you know, just a little thing going on in the midst of Nice and Friendly Corners, specifically with her deputy Peck and her friend Toby, or with other town inhabitants. And I believe this was also one of the rare instances where we have a TVY show with a few bad guys. At least modern example of that. I can't remember specifically their names or anything, but I vividly remember they were like a team of like train bandits who were, I think it was a gang of like three Coyote brothers or something like that. But yeah, that being said, I think even if Callie wasn't dealing with, you know, bandits and bad guys like the Coyote brothers and, you know, whoever else who wasn't very nice and friendly showing up on the doorstep of Nice and Friendly Corners. But, you know, most of the time it was Callie, you know, kind of being a mediator and slowly but surely teaching her friends and, you know, through song breaks from other little characters that popped up from now and again and you know, did the little singing interludes at the end of each quote-unquote act of the story of the episode. But having sort of a setup both in the show itself as well as through song, I think was also kind of a way to get people's attentions and to sort of, you know, remember the fact that, oh, you know, this is a, even though, you know, you might not have the specific film knowledge, because, you know, the show was meant for little kids, but, you know, it a song break popping up in the middle of the episode was kind of like your little reminder that, like, this is a really important point in the story, and this character has made this decision or has done this action that isn't necessarily good, or it's good intentioned, but it turns out to be bad later on in the episode. But yeah, overall, I think, you know, specifically having those little breaks in between, I think it was a smart way of sort of keeping kids' attention, keeping the audience's attention, and sort of registering it, even if, you know, for a brief second, like, oh, you know, this is the sort of the groundwork for the overarching lesson that's going to be taking place over the course of the episode, and, you know, with Callie ultimately coming in and saving the day, so to speak, by reminding people in a very lovely way to be good friends and be nice to each other.
Yeah, I think on the top of the bad guys, I mean, the bad guys, you know, it's fairly common to see that in, like, every single story set within the Western genre anyway, so it's not unusual for Sheriff Callie's Wild West to include those bad guys, you know, in a TVY rated show like that one there. So there is that. So it's always always nice to see, you know, Sheriff Callie, you know, giving us a lesson or two about friendship, getting along with your acquaintances and such, and that's pretty much about it there. But I know you saw at least two of those episodes there. I think one about, you know, Toby's false sickness, and another one about a particular wolf who comes into Nice and Friendly Corners there. So let's start with Toby there and his untrue chew there. What was that? How did that episode go?
Well, first of all, let me just start out by saying that Toby is an absolutely adorable character. I think he's one of the few characters who is not an anthropomorphic animal, but rather an anthropomorphic plant. Just the fact that he is a literal talking cactus, I think, is just something that is overall charming. And just a lot of fun in general, because, I mean, you know, when you think of anthropomorphism, you primarily think of animals. However, it's a fun change of pace to see a plant character get this sort of similar treatment. Plus, I guess it was also, you know, in part playing into the whole stereotypical Western town sort of situation with, you know, what other plants but cactuses all around, because they're out in the middle of the desert and other plants would not be able to survive quite as well. So it would only make sense for one of them to come to life and start, you know, wandering around nice and friendly corners. But, you know, all of that aside, that specific episode, I remember it specifically because of the fact that the lesson, I think, was quite an interesting one. So basically, the whole plot of that episode is, I believe, a bunch of people down in Nice and Friendly Corners, and specifically Peck, were getting sick. They all had like really bad colds or the flu or something like that. And when specifically Peck got sick, people from around town were you know, showing up at his house, and, you know, were giving him blankets and hot soup and medicine and being really nice to him and taking good care of him and making certain that he, you know, gets better as fast as possible. However, when Toby sort of gets wind of this, he sort of gets a little bit jealous of the level of attention and the level of care that Peck has been receiving. So that being said, Toby decides to, as you know, as the episode suggests, to give out an untrue achu, and therefore fake having a sickness in order to get the same level of care and attention as Peck was getting. And, you know, I can't remember specifically how, you know, the events of the episode, specifically with, like, you know, the big quote unquote disaster, so to speak, and I use air quotes for that, but, you know, the big climactic issue. But eventually Toby does come clean and says, you know, hey, I actually I'm actually feeling okay. I was just a little bit jealous of you, Peck, that you were, you know, getting good food and people being really nice to you and taking care of you when I was, you know, still out and about Nice and Friendly Corners doing hard work. And thankfully, you know, everyone around him obviously forgave him. But, you know, just the whole lesson of, you know, letting, not faking things, obviously not lying, but also, you know, sort of not really forcing yourself to be in the spotlight all of the time and not exhibiting jealousy, I think is a lesson that needs to be told in a lot of children's media. And I think that episode did it pretty well, because, I mean, when I was a kid, I remember sometimes, you know, if my sister got sick or, you know, whatever the case was, obviously I'd feel bad for her that she was sick. But at the same token, a part of me would be kind of jealous that, you know, I would that I wouldn't have to go to school. Instead, I'd be, you know, curled up in bed with my stuffed animals watching cartoons all day and you know, eating hot soup and, you know, just being taken care of.
Isn't that the dream?
Yes. To this day, it's still kind of my dream, where it's just, you know, I lie in bed and when I wake up in the morning and it's like, oh, you know, I don't want to get up and do crap. I want to, you know, I want to spend my day, exactly, as I said, I want to spend my day in bed, you know, napping and watching cartoons.
That's just every Saturday morning, though. Isn't that right?
I hope it... If it is, then I need to get with the program. yeah, but, you know, again, in all seriousness, I think that lesson was something that it was presented. Jealousy was presented in sort of an interesting way in this series, because, you know, normally when you think of it, it's usually kind of presented in a typical format where, you know, oh, someone is jealous of someone's talent or a new toy or, you know, other kinds of attention, you know, just, you know, having friends, whatever the case is. But, you know, the level of attention and care that you get while being sick, I think is, you know, a fascinating way of thinking of, you know, using it as a story to set up a lesson about jealousy. So that being said, again, I think Callie did something, at the very least, relatively interesting and nuanced with a very tried but true and much needed lesson for a younger audience.
I think the lesson to take away from all of that, besides what, you know, Sheriff Callie taught us, I think probably don't think of yourself as much as the main character as probably... others are. I think more or less you're just there to you know, go about with your life, and of course, you know, anything big happens to you, of course, you know, people will take notice and all that, but, you know, just to make noise, just to make because you're jealous, I mean,
yeah, I definitely,
yeah, I don't know, I really don't know.
I guess sort of fine-tune that a little bit more, but I think of, you know, it's sort of an interesting thought of, like, you know, you need to recognize your worth and your importance, but at the same token, though, you are not the end all be all, and you're not, you know, going to be, the world doesn't revolve around you, basically. And again, I think that is a lesson that, even though they didn't specifically say it that way, it was kind of, that episode, I think, was kind of touching base on that fact. And I think that's another reason why that episode is one that sticks with me even after it's been, what, like 8 or 9 years? It's been a while since I've watched an episode of Sheriff Callie. So that being said, I think that episode... was one that stuck with me because of the fact that it addresses this in such an interesting way. It was more of an implied thing as opposed to something that was actually, you know, explicitly worded, unlike Library, the episode in Bluey, where Stripe literally looks at Muffin and goes, "You think you're special? Well, you're not. I mean, you are to your mom and I, but to everyone else, not so much." I still laugh when I hear that. That line was delivered so well. Props to Stripe's voice actor. But again, you know, not to get off into the weeds, I think, just, you know, as you said, it was sort of implied with that episode, and I think it was implied pretty well, even without it being explicitly said like that.
Okay, number one, why have we not done a Bluey episode yet? And number two, I know a couple people who need that lesson hammered into their heads, but I won't name them here, but I know some people that, you know, need to be taught that lesson every once in a while, so.
But yeah, I mean, we were planning a Bluey episode for this season, but at the same token, though, I was primarily focused on, you know, the half-hour-long episode that's going to be released sometime either in between the February to April range. So yeah, eventually we will finally be doing a full Bluey episode instead of just, you know, providing little Bluey anecdotes from here, there, and everywhere. And, you know, obviously our first episode ever has an SCD about the Bluey pilot from like 2016 or something like that, that got leaked sometime early last year. But, you know, that being said, yeah, I agree with you. I think it's time that we finally do a true Bluey episode, hopefully about The Sign, which is the name of that episode. But again, we're way off course here. Let's get back to nice and friendly corners and talk about the next episode that I remember very vividly.
Of course. And when we do bring you that half hour Bluey episode, I'm sure it will be during season 3 of the Zachary and Peaches show. But anyway, what about Peck's bent beak and that dentist wolf there? What do you remember from that episode?
Well, again, for starters, and I think for the obvious reasons, anytime there is a wolf in a cartoon, especially when the wolf is a good guy, I notice, I like it, I get excited. So yeah, that being said, I can't remember his name, but oh my gosh, was he adorable. Precious baby. Wonderful.
I think his name was just Dr. Wolf there. I looked it up earlier.
Yeah. Something like that. But yeah, cute boy, very cute boy. So yeah, again, not me being a furry here, but yeah, wolves. But all that aside, I think, again, this show it addresses a lot of, like, you know, really, I wouldn't say overused, but a lot of, you know, tried but true sort of lessons. And this one in particular, this episode obviously focuses on, like, the whole don't judge a book by its cover sort of lesson, which is one of my favorite things just to see in children's cartoons as someone who was often judged by you know, people observing actions without directly knowing me or looking at what I was wearing or, you know, whatever the case was. I was often judged too quickly. But again, personal ties aside, I think, you know, and, you know, plot-wise, this episode obviously follows Peck, who gets a bent beak, I think, after trying to eat something, and obviously he needs to go to the dentist. However, this wasn't just a, oh no, scary dentist scenario, but this dentist wasn't just quote-unquote scary for being a dentist. This dentist was also scary because he was a wolf. And, you know, obviously he kind of towers over everyone in nice and friendly corners. He's got a big toothy grin. There are most of the predatory animals, most of the carnivores in nice and friendly corners are either bad guys or, you know, like Callie, they're animals that are traditionally domesticated. As again, i.e. Callie being a cat. So, you know, that being said, a wolf moving into nice and friendly corners is something that, at the very least, is seen as very unnerving, unsettling to the residents of that town. However, at the same token, though, you know, he is such a sweet guy, and all he's doing is trying to make friends and trying to, you know, say hello and get the residents of Nice and Friendly Corners to like him. Especially since he knows full well that he's a wolf and that, therefore, he might seem a little scary to some of the creatures that live in the town because of the fact that he is he's an apex predator. He's a large predatory animal. So, you know, and unfortunately their reputation on large canines has been unfortunately a bit tarnished with the fact that there, as I said before, there is a crew of three coyotes who are train robbers. So yeah, therefore not very many interactions with large canines in nice and friendly corners and the surrounding desert. And those interactions are usually not very good. So, you know, thankfully that episode does end with Pac finally, you know, trusting, you know, kind of mustering up the courage and trusting Dr. Wolf that he'll fix his beak and not hurt Pac. And of course he does. Which obviously leads to people in nice and friendly corners realizing that, oh, you know, this guy might, I vividly remember in one of the songs in the song break in the episode was, I think it was like, sure, that wolf looks scary, but that doesn't mean he's mean. So, yeah, I mean, I think just the whole sort of don't judge a book by its cover is a lesson that's kind of near and dear to my heart, especially when it comes to, you know, seeing it executed really well in kids' cartoons. And I think that episode in particular does a very good job with that, especially by using an animal that, even though wolves are, you know, super beloved by, you know, pretty much every 12 to 15 year old on the internet, plus, you know, 99% of the furry population. But again, that being said, it wasn't always like that, obviously. You know, wolves being stereotyped for thousands of years, pretty much. And, you know, even in the age of classic cartoons, usually if you were trying to depict a villain and that was an animal, you would usually go for a wolf. Because of the whole, you know, big bad wolf in sheep's clothing, kind of Little Red Riding Hood, all of the, you know, classic fairy tales and sayings that usually painted wolves in a not particularly pretty light. So, again, if anything, I think it's an excellent little reminder of obviously not just on the deeper level of, you know, give people a chance, and that, you know, just because someone looks nice or someone looks mean doesn't mean that they have to act that way. It's, you know, what's inside that counts. But I think it also does a really good job on just painting wolves in a pretty good light in animation, especially considering the fact that they've been vilified for God knows how long. So, again, little nuances, I think, is what makes the show a truly cute and fun and charming one. Because, you know, there are hundreds of young children's cartoons who touch base on a lot of the same sort of lessons that Sheriff Callie taught. But I think doing that in a way with not just, you know, the songs or the nuanced setting, or with, you know, fun and charming characters, I think just overall adding little bits of, you know, little bits of extra things that people who, you know, love animation or, you know, whatever the case is can sort of faintly pick up on, is a fascinating thing that really gets me to enjoy this show. And again, you know, as I was talking with you earlier, Adrian, I said, you know, I can't really overanalyze Sheriff Callie, because it's pretty much exactly right what it says on the tin. It's, you know, It's a Western musical cartoon series about talking animals, and they're teaching kids how, you know, how to be a good friend and how to get along. That's pretty much the simple sum of the episode. It's not like, you know, what I could even do with a film like Leo, for example, or for any of the other previous movies that and TV shows that we've talked about. You know, it's not like I'm gonna have a moment where I'm it's gonna talk about the meaning of life and the universe. You know, that's just not the show.
The answer is 42, though, right?
Sure, Adrian, sure.
Okay. I'll take your word for it.
But yeah, again, in all seriousness, I think for a show that has such a simple premise and knows exactly what it is and doesn't really do anything, you know, superfluous or have a lot of subtext, I think, you know, it's still a good, quote-unquote, face value show to examine because of the fact that even though it doesn't have a lot of, you know, subtext or you know, anything in particular like that, it still has interesting design nuances and story nuances, i.e. species picked for certain characters, song breaks, whatever, you know, that just makes the show a pretty worthwhile watch, especially if you have young children.
Definitely, and a lot of great lessons to learn in such a simple show about a simple town, overseen by a great sheriff in Cali, the Calico Cat, and just a great show overall for kids to watch, and you know, good brain popcorn for you and I as well, especially, you know, as we're grown adults here, and we enjoy, I guess, animation a lot more, you know, I guess, than the average Joe, so to speak. But, yeah.
Yeah, agreed. And, you know, I mean, as an autistic adult, you know, I go through periods where, you know, I need really gentle things. I need things that aren't really gonna, you know, provide a lot of really heavy information, you know, constantly throwing that in my face, because real life gets stressful and real life gets overwhelming, and I mean it does for all of us, but it can especially do so for people like us because of the fact that, you know, we're not just dealing with the general stressors of life, but we're also dealing with, you know, the fact that the world can be too loud some days or too bright some days, or we just don't want to people, but we have to. You know, there's a lot of extra stimuli that is so overwhelming for people like us. So that being said, sometimes we don't want shows to remind us that the world wasn't built for us and that the world can be scary and overwhelming. Sometimes we just want something that is... I mean, I'm at least speaking for myself here, because, you know, obviously, again, if you've met one person on the spectrum, you've met one person on the spectrum. But, you know, again, at least for me, I personally like watching cartoons that are, you know, that are safe and gentle and friendly and don't really require any extra mental stamina because of just how exhausting life can get. So, yeah, again, I think having shows like Sheriff Cali out there that are, you know, not just gentle, but also done really well and are not annoying to watch, I think is something that at the very least makes me personally feel really good about watching them, as well as anyone else who happens to enjoy younger children's programming, regardless of disability status.
Or their age. Yeah, but there is that. But I agree with that sentiment. And yeah, just no matter how old you are, you know, just need something stable to keep you down and comfy and grounded and just, you know, just something to remind you that it's going to be okay in this rather strange and unusual world. So, yeah.
Exactly.
Yep. Let me pin down something. Let me actually confirm something that you kind of alluded to earlier. Sheriff Cali first aired in 2014, ended its run in 2017 there. So, so now that we got that confirmed, Sheriff Cali's Wild West, both seasons of that program are streaming on Disney Plus. So if you have a subscription to that service, you can go ahead and watch both seasons of that show, as well as the two episodes that we discussed about as a part of that discussion this week. We're going to move on to something completely different here on the Zachary and Peter Show. We're going to stay out west, actually, and head on out to L.A. for CBS's newest and hottest late-night game show. And of course, after Colbert, you can stay up after midnight for that particular show. Well, the show that we're going to be talking about after the break anyway, Jared's going to tell you about that, and we will be right back.
Coming up on the Zachary and Peaches Show. It's not just Saturday night that's all right for fighting. Adrian talks about the newest addition to CBS's late night lineup, After Midnight, hosted by Taylor Tomlinson, and how it helps to serve up fresh material within the confines of its panel game show format.
USA! 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 Can't wait for that to get clipped out online.
Group chats and hashtag wars galore next.
I'm Adrian Mata. Here now is this week's question. We discussed about Sheriff Cali's Wild West and how it twisted the Western genre to teach viewers a lesson or two about getting along. This week, we want to hear from you a particular lesson about friendship you had to learn at one point in your life. Spotify listeners, let us know now through the Q&A feature on your mobile device. Otherwise, reply to this episode's recap entry on DeviantArt and Tumblr through my profile on both platforms at AdrianMata26, or to our show's Instagram and Threads accounts at Zachary and Peaches. The Zachary and Peaches Show resumes in just a moment.
Autism, and now everything else. The Zachary and Peaches Show continues.
I'm Taylor Tomlinson, and you're watching After Midnight, where comedians fight to the death for internet glory. Yes, actual death. The stakes are so high, this is our second show, and the review are in. Every little girl's dream, just okay. Thanks, USA Today. USA! 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 Can't wait for that to get clipped out online. No, we appreciate it, USA Today. Game recognizes game.
Welcome back to the Zachary and Peaches Show, everybody. This is your lovely co-host, Emma Settles, alongside your equally as lovely co-host, Adrian Mata. And we are now moving on to our Something Completely Different segment. And this was Adrian's pick for the week, a little late night TV series known as After Midnight, hosted by the rising comedian Taylor Tomlinson. And that being said, why don't you, our lovely announcer, Jared, take it away with a synopsis?
Rising stand-up comedian Taylor Tomlinson hosts this reboot of the Comedy Central panel game show At Midnight, retitled to accompany its later time slot after The Late Show with Stephen Colbert on CBS. Every weeknight, three other comedians compete against one another for an arbitrary made-up prize through games such as group chat and hashtag wars, with unique, fresh, and oft-times timely but risky material generated on the fly in front of a live studio audience. The top two scoring comedians move on to the final game, for the win, where they are given a prompt and write down their responses. The audience plays a role in deciding who wins the night's festivities. After Midnight is produced by Colbert Spartina Productions, comedy studio Funny or Die, and CBS Studios.
Thank you very much for that, Jared. So, Adrian, this was your pick for this week's SCD segment. So, that being said, why don't you give us a little bit more info about it? Because, yeah, I've only really heard a little bit about it, and that was primarily from a CBS Sunday morning, not Monday morning, as a soundbite that I hope to have not appear in this episode. But again, Adrian is responsible for that, not me. So if it does, oh well. I'll live with it. But, you know, again, that being said, I had only heard a little bit about it, and it, again, pretty much the bit that I learned about it is that obviously the host is a relatively new and pretty quickly rising popularity comedian who, you know, started stand-up technically and used it as an outlet for communicating her feelings as a kid. So, yeah, that being said, Adrian, why don't you sort of elaborate more on the show as well as the hostess herself?
Yeah, of course. So, the show itself, if you watched At Midnight with Chris Hardwick on Comedy Central, this iteration, well, actually, this show called After Midnight will probably feel a little bit familiar to you, at least the format there. You got three comedians, three panelists, actually. I know one of the episodes did have an actor who was not a comedian, but you have three panelists, usually comedians, kind of really competing for an arbitrary prize on the program, and of course through witty banter and material, and sometimes crosses the line at times. They compete in games such as group chat and hashtag wars, and of course there's a final game called For the Win, where you have the top two scorers, do a written response to a prompt, and of course the studio audience gets to decide, you know, who wins the night, pretty much. I'm pretty sure Jared's already gone through how the format goes anyway, and I guess that whatever I just said should have gone without saying, but oh well. But Taylor Thompson herself, she is, of course, a rising comedian. She has been active on the comedy scene since 2010. She did have a 15-minute set on a Netflix comedy series, featuring up-and-coming comedians like herself. And she has done two stand-up specials on Netflix since then. And she also has a third one coming out next month in February of 2024. So there is that. But this show, of course, CBS was looking for a cheaper successor to The Late Show, or not The Late Show, The Late Late Show with James Corden. Of course, that program had been with a few different hosts, first with Tom Snyder, then Craig Kilborn, then another Craig in Craig Ferguson, and then James Corden. And because of how much it cost to produce James Corden's show, CBS executives were looking, and of course the producers, I suppose, were looking for an alternative program that would be cheaper for them to produce. And so they settled on a reboot of At Midnight, which of course originally aired on Comedy Central and was produced by, of course, Funny or Die. And they were doing some pre-production on it. Of course, the Hollywood strikes happened. Production pretty much stopped. Whatever production was being worked on for After Midnight had stopped, and it didn't resume until after the strikes. And then, of course, we get an announcement in November of last year that hey, CBS is going to do a new late night show called After Midnight, host to be determined. That day on the, or that evening rather, on the Late Show with Stephen Colbert. Colbert was named one of the producers for After Midnight, and he had a bit of a hand in choosing the host of the program. And out of the three hosts that auditioned, that did some pilot runs for the program, Taylor Thomason was the one. And so, so she currently hosts the program, and yeah, it's been off to a, I think, a very fantastic start. I know the first episode of After Midnight went, was off to a good start, so to speak, and not just okay, but a really great start. Whitney Cummings, Kurt Braunohler, and Aparna Nansherla were the first panelists to appear on After Midnight. Of course, other guests that were on in the other two episodes that premiered leading up to this podcast recording for this week's episode. Max Greenfield was on from The Neighborhood, Robbie Hoffman, James Davis, Sophie Buttle, Carl Todd, and Paul F. Tompkins also guested this week. And of course, if you follow After Midnight on social media at After Midnight, you'll probably know who's going to be on the game show each 4 nights a week. That's when it airs on CBS after The Late Show with Stephen Colbert. But it was a really, you know, it was a great start to the show. I know the third episode, though, they had some, I know they had to cut a lot of material, so it looked a little bit off. It took me out a little bit. But anyway, you know, the material that they, you know, these comedians came up with, the banter that they had, and then, of course, you know, the one segment where, you know, they step out from behind their podiums and do a physical, I guess a physical challenge of sorts, kind of like, I guess, Double Dare on Nickelodeon. But Spartina Productions, Funny or Die, CBS Studios, they did a great job putting the series together. And I know it is only going to get better from here. I know the suggestion that that was thrown around on Broadcast Plaza, you know, after the first episode, you know, perhaps there could be a short monologue from Taylor herself, and that would you know, showcase her own trademark style of humor to the audience, and that would pretty much, you know, help make that would pretty much help familiarize her own work to the viewing audience. So but you know, that was the only one criticism that that was had, besides USA Today saying it was just okay. But a really great show, and I just can't wait to see where it goes from here. Hopefully, you know, there's new games coming, you know, to be played, you know, every night. And then, of course, you know there will always be some changes here and there. But I enjoyed it for what it is worth there.
Well, sounds like you're enjoying it. Again, as I mean, obviously, you said that already. So why did I have to state the obvious? But yeah, that being said, sounds like a pretty fun program overall, and I wish everyone involved nothing but the best.
Absolutely. After Midnight is on after The Late Show with Stephen Colbert, weeknights at 12:37 a.m. Eastern, 11:37 p.m. Central Time. That is on your local CBS station, so check your local listings for when it airs and where it will air in your area. Just look for your local CBS station for that. That being said, that is it for the Zachary and Peaches show this week. We're gonna be talking about another Disney Channel, well, another Disney television property in KIFF, and that's one of the newest TV shows to premiere on the Disney Channel in, I think, the past year or so. Isn't that right, Emma?
Yeah, I believe so. That being said, this series doesn't seem to be getting a lot of chatter as a little nod or joke there. So that being said, I would like to go ahead and check it out for myself and see why the fans specifically enjoy it, and or, you know, why specifically that it doesn't seem to be generating a lot of the same buzz as some of the past DTVA shows have been. Then again, I haven't really been closely following it, so it could be, you know, getting rave reviews, and I don't know. But, you know, that being said, I haven't seen as much fan art or, you know, as much of an active fan base as, you know, say, Amphibia or the Owl House, for example. So that being said, I am looking forward to finally giving this little show a wash through, and hopefully I'll be able to give my my honest opinion about it. So yeah, that being said, tune in next week for our discussion about KIFF.
Of course, and until then, for right now, I am Adrian Monta.
And I'm Emma Settles.
We'll see you next time on the Zachary and Peaches Show, folks. Goodbye for right now.
Bye.
This is Jared Harris speaking for the Zachary and Peaches Show. Produced, edited, and co-hosted by Adrian Mata, and co-hosted with Emma Settles. The Zachary and Peaches Show is a Sackland original podcast.